Welcome to Hope Found. This is a podcast about doing life with God. I found hope in the one and only true God through my salvation in Jesus. And I want to share my journey with God via the scriptures and personal interactions. Many of the podcasts will have a study of scriptures, and others will contain interviews with other people and their stories finding hope in God. Hello and welcome back. We are so excited that you decided to join us today. And I am Hope, of course, and my husband John is here also.
Yes, I am.
Yes, he is. I'm so glad to have him along. Takes care of all the technical side along with joining into our discussions and sharing his wisdom with us.
Wisdom. Yes. That's a loose term.
You got good stuff. Sometimes it's silly, but sometimes it's great.
Usually silly.
You're kind of like the comic relief.
Nice.
You know, every show needs that little bit.
So I'm the clown show as part of your show.
Dun, 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 dun.
Nice.
Sorry. So I was thinking this week about the time when shortly before we got together,
mm-hmm.
and I was starting to like you, but I hadn't communicated that yet.
Definitely.
Because I was not sure. And I
Failure to communicate your feelings early on. In fact, you shared the alternate to that. No, I am not interested.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, it was a whole year and a half, you know. It was time.
I'm aware.
Growing in our friendship.
I was there.
It was a good thing.
Uh-huh.
So I might have possibly, maybe, somewhat manipulated you into inviting me to Thanksgiving with your family.
So I've heard. I've heard about the manipulation. At the time, I was unaware I was being manipulated.
But we've talked about it since. It's all good.
Yes, you're forgiven.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
You're welcome.
And so we had decided to ride with you uh-huh. in your car. And I say we because Jason was with us, your brother,
right.
Because he also went to college with me. And so we caught up with you, and it was snowing quite a bit. There was lots of snow and it was cold. Of course, it was Thanksgiving, so up north. And so you're like, okay, yeah, you know, I'll drive and whatever. So, okay, cool. So we all get in your car. And shortly before that, I was like, do you want me to move my truck? Because I was parked behind him. But, you know, where he was parked was kind of like a big parking lot. So there was enough room there. He's like, no, it's all good. I can just pull up a little bit and then I'll just turn and, you know, it'll be fine. It'll be just fine. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we all got in the car and John throws it in reverse and then just hits the gas and proceeds to run right into my front bumper of my truck.
That I did.
So, you know, we all kind of paused for a second and I think you moved up a little bit and we all just kind of froze for a minute. And what were you thinking?
I was thinking, oh my goodness, what in the world did I just do? I'm trying to get this girl to like me. She won't like me. She won't say she likes me. And I just smashed into her car. Oh, and we have a 2-hour drive we need to go make to go to grandma's house now. So
right. In the car together.
Right.
At least you were hoping.
Right.
Did you think I might be angry?
I would have been angry. So
so yeah, possibly. I think I can remember some of the effect of my first response was, it's okay. It's okay. Because I could tell that you were kind of like frozen.
Yeah, because I'm sure in my mind it'd be like, this is not okay.
Right. So I was like, it's okay. It's okay. And I believe you moved up a little bit. And I don't know if we all got out or if you just got out and just kind of looked at it. And
I'm sure you got out. I ran into your truck.
Yeah,
so.
I probably did. And then just kind of checked it out. And then I don't think we talked too much about it after that.
I don't know that we talked too much.
On the drive.
Right.
Yeah.
Probably. I also thought to myself, your dad's going to kill me.
And that's probably true, but he never found out.
Nope.
He never found out. Turns out that John, the great guy that he is, he bought a bumper for my truck, my little Nissan pickup. And Jason and I actually worked on putting it on the truck. So that was a hoot. And yeah. The only reason why John wasn't there to help out is because he had to go lead worship, I think, that night at church or something.
Yeah, some kind of church, something going on. Yeah,
yeah. So, but we did. We got it on there. And my mom listens to this. It'll be the first that she hears about that. I don't believe I shared that ever. But so anyways, there was definitely a good possibility of there being some anger there. But, you know, I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. I just didn't have a lot of, I didn't have any anger at that moment. I think a lot of times when it comes to like emergency type things or like shocking type things, I kind of shift into this, what can we do mode.
You do, yeah.
Like, I feel like emotion kind of goes out the window.
I mean, I think I was angry.
Yeah, you were angry.
Scared and angry.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
And
I guess
single for life at that moment, thinking.
But it all worked out.
It did.
Yeah,
it did.
Here we are. Almost.
I wore you down.
27 years later.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
You know, you're talking about having a truck.
Yeah.
And lately you've been like, when I, every time I talk about a truck, you're like, you never said you wanted a truck. You drove a truck.
I did. And
so why is it so weird?
No, I like trucks. It's just funny because the only time I think we ever really talked about it is when we had the camper and we'd be pulling it.
I mean, I can't afford a truck, but.
Yeah. But just, yeah.
Pickup trucks cost
a
fortune.
Bus. A bus is what you've always said. I want a bus.
Well, yeah. Pickup truck's probably a little more realistic.
Achievable.
Right. I mean, we had that camper. That was the size of a bus.
Yeah, it was.
And a money pit.
It was a money pit.
Yes.
Do not recommend it. Yeah. At least not an ancient one.
Right.
So anyways, so I was also thinking about just anger this week in general.
Mm.
And is there anything like maybe in the past couple of weeks or anything that maybe made you angry?
I can't think of anything specific. I mean, I think I get frustrated more than angry.
Yeah.
Just frustrated with situations or people or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Work
so,
stuff.
Like, what do you think in general, maybe you or other people that makes people angry?
I mean, I think people get angry at all kinds of things, but more often than not, maybe they get angry just with people making poor decisions that affect them, you know. Like being on the receiving end of someone else's poor decision.
Yeah.
You know, that's something that I think would make me angry.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. There was a specific word that kind of comes to mind, but I was trying to stay away from that word. So I actually, instead of it, I said poor choice people.
But that's what I just said.
Poor choices. I know. Yeah. But I'm just telling you, like,
I tried to stay away from that word too.
Yeah.
The S word. Yes.
The S word.
Mm-hmm.
Not the four-letter S word.
No.
But, yeah, so I can definitely understand that.
Yeah.
How, you know, people making those poor choices and how it can affect you.
Right.
And so maybe sometimes those poor choices can happen in traffic while you're driving.
Or when somebody runs into the front of your car and it's parked. That was a poor choice. I was just so enamored by your beauty.
Huh? Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. We're going to move right past that. Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of times people talk about road rage.
Sure.
You know.
That's a thing.
It absolutely is. I've seen it.
Well, when you think about how many times either you or I, depending on, I mean, it doesn't matter who's driving.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we frequently speak out loud at other drivers
right,
when we're in the car. Like, what are you doing? Like, really? That kind of stuff.
And I think it can go from that to where people are being super aggressive because they are so mad. And of course, we've seen situations that really get escalated, you know. And so it's like we tell our kids and ourselves, like, just try to just move back from that.
You know, when I was 16, I was driving home from, I don't know where I was coming home from. I don't know if it was from work or from school or whatever, from high school. And we had these, in Pennsylvania, you know, lots of roads that obviously were built on what used to be the horse trails.
Oh, yeah.
So the roads themselves, there was
very windy and
no rhyme or reason to anything. And there was this one specific S-curve. And when I say S-curve, I mean, it was like you drove up to
it. Was like a Z.
It was like, yeah, it was like a 90-degree turn to the left mm-hmm. and then immediately a 90-degree turn to the right. And there was a spot on the road where there was a huge divot, you know, where the road was sinking, kind of like the one we drive past on our way to work these days. But it was worse than that. And so I knew it was there because I drove this road all the time. It was the way between town and out of town where I lived. And I was driving down the road. And I mean, couldn't have been going more than 35 miles an hour. I mean, it was a back road. Mm-hmm. And I always, if there was not oncoming traffic, I would veer over to miss this huge divot because your whole car would, you know.
Right, right.
And so, and it was a double yellow line road. So it's like, there's really no, I mean, if nothing's coming, the risk is super low, right?
Right.
And it was daytime, all those things. I'm driving and I veered over. And at the moment that I veered over, there happened to be this motorcycle that had accelerated extremely fast to coming up behind me that I didn't even know was there, who was choosing to try to pass me at that moment.
On the right side?
On the left side.
On the left side.
Like going into what would be the oncoming traffic.
Right.
Illegally passing me, right? But it what it appeared, I'm sure, to him was that I saw him and veered over to try to, like, be mean to him or, you
know. To stop him from passing.
Right. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I almost, like, ran into him.
Oh, my goodness.
So, I mean, we got to that and to that S-curve, and he pulled up in the road in front of me and stopped. So, of course, I had to stop. He had some rage at that moment. I rolled down my window, you know, crank window down, and he was like there with his finger in my face. What's wrong with you, you? And he said that word.
Yeah.
All kinds of words, you know, trying to kill me. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, I didn't even know you were there. Sure, you didn't know I was there. So anger, rage.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, just the other day, we were on one of the busiest roads, and I'm not going to try to explain the dynamics of it, but it was like at least four lanes going across. There might have even been more. Super, super busy road. And a person was making a U-turn in front of me while traffic was going, and like he should not have. He clearly did not have the right of way.
Yeah.
And then because I was right there and he was making the U-turn, he got mad at me. And I was like, okay.
Right. Like, why are you angry with me? Right. I didn't make the poor choice here.
Right, right. So anyways, there's definitely, I'm sure that people can talk a lot about their road rage experiences, either themselves or others, or I'm sure that there's been a time or two that I accelerated and came up behind somebody because I was upset. But, you know, then you're like, okay, stop being that word.
Right.
And
you're not accomplishing anything.
Right. Right. For sure. And then you just kind of got to slow down inside and everything else just to get past it. But I think there's other things that can provoke people to anger and that make people angry. Politics. One side versus the other side, you know, like it talking about, I avoid those conversations like the plague.
Yeah.
I'm on God's side.
Yeah.
You know, I have my opinions and my morals, but I'm just going to avoid politics altogether. I don't want to talk about it. It just never seems to end up in a good way. You're never going to convince somebody else of something different.
Right.
It's like, just walk away.
Right.
But I think that can definitely be a hot topic, you know. Earlier, we were talking to a couple of our kids, and one of them said having to wait. And I definitely think that that is a point of anger. Like, it can cause anger. People can get angry. I was thinking, you know, DMV.
Right.
or
the doctor's office, things, places like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Even any kind of government, anything, you have to wait for it, you know, when you submit things to try to get things from the government, or you're actually in a physical facility, and you know, just you know, just having that, and short of a place caring more about what the customer and having that customer satisfaction concern, you know, sometimes for your car, when you're waiting for your car to get ready, whatever, waiting in a line,
you know, what makes me angry? When people butt in front of you in line. Thinking of that Disney World situation.
Well, there's Disney World, and then there's like the worst, which I think I can say because I think a lot of people have faced it. When you go to Christian Ooh. Functions. Mm. I mean,
here I am at a conference.
It really, really tests your Christianity. It really does. You know, when you've been standing there in line for an hour or two, and then all of a sudden the doors open, and then all these people like gravitate like a magnet to the beginning of the line and just go in, and you're just kind of like, what? Oh, well, my friend was up here for the 20 of us. Sorry. Mm-hmm. You know, like,
the first shall be last.
The Bible does say that. But anyways.
You just want to look at people and be like weeping and gnashing of teeth.
I wouldn't want to wish that on anybody.
No, not wishing it on them. You're just like. Mm.
Yeah. But definitely waiting can be something that, you know, even when we're waiting on God.
Yeah.
That can definitely be something that can be irritating or provoke you to anger if you don't have the right perspective.
Yeah.
That can be very frustrating also.
Yeah.
And we talked about poor choice people. Mm-hmm. One of the other kids talked about entitled people
Ooh.
Not getting what they want.
Mm-hmm.
Which, yes, I could definitely see anger happening in that.
Because those entitled people get angry.
Yes, yes. And I have to personally be careful to not get angry at entitled people.
It's a two-way. It's both yes. sides then. They get angry and you're like, and now I'm angry.
Yes. I try. That's probably one of the things that, I can't say probably. It's definitely one of those things that I have to keep in check. Mm-hmm. I have to keep in check because the whole entitlement thing just can really get under my skin.
Yeah.
Can dance on my last nerve.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah.
I've seen it. It's truth.
It is. That very much is. There can be anger that arises in arguments and relationships.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we will probably talk about it more when we do something on marriage or something like that. But we don't really argue very much. We might have a little bit different perspective on some things. But I know there's a lot of people that, you know, it's like every week they have to like process mm-hmm. through an argument or something. And that's just not really been a dynamic for us, which I'm super grateful for, you know.
No, we just have times when you're fine.
Yes.
I'm
yes.
fine.
I'm
no,
fine.
No, you're not. No, it's not like that. It's not. I'm fine. I'm fine.
But again, that'll be for another discussion.
So we can talk about me running into your car, but not. No, it's all good.
But I think that, I mean, anger can definitely be in a lot of those when they have the arguments and the emotions rise and, you know, maybe they're bringing up stuff from the past that one did to the other one, or, you know, pulling the good old skeletons out of the closet can really provoke people to anger.
Yeah.
Definitely. I think that there's any variety of different things. I also think that occasional anger, kind of like the frustration that might lead to anger, can be a little different than an anger issue.
Mm, true.
You know, like somebody can actually have like an anger issue where almost anything can provoke them.
Right.
Almost anything can trigger that anger.
Right.
And so I definitely had a horrible anger issue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, growing up, I can remember certain things. My dad would get very upset. And basically it was like walking on eggshells around him. Most of the time he would leave after a certain time. And then when he came back, everything was fine. And so basically everything would just kind of be swept under the carpet and we never talked about it.
Yeah.
Which isn't healthy either.
Sure.
It's not good. But I can remember experiencing that cycle mm-hmm. over and over and over again growing up. So a witness to that and experiencing that, in a variety of different ways, definitely, I think, affected me. As a young teen, I can remember saying and doing things to try to provoke my mom to fight with me. And I didn't have any rhyme or reason to it.
Were you successful? Because I don't see your mom fighting with anybody.
No, I was not. She is like, seriously, like the angel of patience.
Yeah.
She is. Like, and I tried. Trust me, I tried. And I don't know why I did, but I can remember 13, 14 being just, you know, saying things like saying those trigger words to try to like trip her up and try to get to fight with me.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that was something that I learned growing up. I don't know if that was, I don't know. It didn't make any sense to me, mm-hmm. like why I did it. But I can remember doing that. I can remember how she wouldn't fight with me. And then I would get more frustrated because she wouldn't fight with me, which is so silly, you know, when you say it out loud. But man, I mean, she's a godsend. She's amazing, yeah. Amazingly patient and understanding and loving. And I guess that's why her and my dad worked out for so many years.
Yeah.
You know, because not that it was healthy, but it is what it was. So, but yeah, I can remember being in those situations, and man, I'm glad. I don't think that we really had that with our kids at all. I don't really remember that. I'm sure we had some conversations and some frustrations, but nothing like that.
Yeah.
There are some deeper issues, possibly moral issues, we could call them, that could make people angry, like abortion, mm-hmm. and abuse, neglect, different hot topics like that.
Yeah.
That I believe would make any reasonable person at least upset.
Sure.
I can remember watching like little clips of, you know, nanny cams when the nanny is just manhandling this young child. And it would, I would just get so angry and so sad too. Mm-hmm. Just so sad. And so the anger issue was kind of there too. But, you know, just those feelings of, no, this can't happen, mm-hmm. you know. And so I was thinking about through these things, because those are definitely things that, in my opinion, are absolutely wrong. There's no excuse. It shouldn't happen. Mm-hmm. And then I was thinking about sometimes mostly Christian people mm-hmm. talk about a righteous anger. Mm. And how, you know, I would think that it would be those things that would make people have righteous anger, mm-hmm. you know? And I don't know. Have you heard that before?
Yeah.
Have you heard the term?
Yeah.
And it seems like to me that, does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Like, okay, so it is wrong. Let's just say we all agree that all those things are wrong. And we could be upset with them. Mm-hmm. We can, you know, this isn't right. Like we need to, something needs to happen. This can't keep happening. But to actually be angry, mm-hmm. to have that righteous anger. And I was like, but is that okay? Is righteous anger really righteous? Is it okay? Because mm-hmm. when we look at the word righteous, God makes us righteous. And righteous is a standing upright. It is a rightness of walking. It's a rightness of living, you know, an uprightness.
Yeah.
And is it an oxymoron?
Right. Right.
To anger?
Right.
You know, I've heard it all growing up because we grew up in the church and, you know, that's righteous anger. So it's like, it's okay because it's righteous anger.
Right. So is it one of those things that, is that really a thing? Or is it something that we tell ourselves to make it okay?
Right. And that's...
And I'm not saying I have the answer. I'm just saying,
yeah.
You know, in conversation, in this conversation, it's like, makes you wonder.
Yeah. Because I really do. I feel like it's like an excuse.
Right.
For anger. And so...
Right. Like you're making it okay.
Right. So I'm reading a little bit about anger in the Bible. Mm-hmm. And I come across James 1, 19 and 20 that says, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires."
Well, now.
Pretty much in those two verses, I can say that righteous anger is not godly.
Right. That's what it sounds like he's saying.
Right. Right. So
anger is the opposite of righteousness, is kind of what that said.
Yes, yes. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires.
Mm.
And so I felt pretty justified in my thinking. I was like, okay, that seems like that's accurate.
Yeah.
Righteous anger is an oxymoron, and it's not really a thing that we can hold on to and justify our decisions as far as that goes. You know, it's not. So anyways, because we can remember back in the news, religious people who made poor choices,
right?
Against abortion centers and things that, I mean, if your anger leads you there, that's absolutely not of God. I don't care what you say.
Right.
It's not okay to attack other people or a building or something like that in order to try to make right what you think is wrong.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. I came across Ecclesiastes 7:9 also. Do not be quickly provoked in your spirit, for anger resides in the lap of fools.
Ooh.
Yes. So, and actually the word lap there means like stomach or insides.
Mm.
So, you know, if you've got a lot of that anger, you could very well be considered a fool. So
I think I know some fools.
I think I've been there, so I can't, you know, been there, done that. I've made foolish decisions.
You fool.
I pity the fool. Sorry. Just had to throw that in there. Let's see. Let's look at one more here. Colossians 3:8. But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. So that pretty much says it right there. I mean, there's a whole lot of scriptures, and we'll touch on possibly some other ones, but there's a whole lot of them. And whenever it comes to anger, I think the Bible's really clear.
Yeah.
It's not good. Anger is not good.
Yeah.
Especially human anger, which is all that we would know.
Because we are human.
Because we're human.
Last I checked.
And it's not good. Avoid it. Don't cause it. Don't have it.
Yeah.
Not good. So where do you think anger comes from? Like, is it like a learned behavior, do you think?
I guess it might be. It might just be one of those things that's in us, too, just as
humans,
you know, we're not perfect. We live in this fallen world. And so it's just it may be one of those things that we just have. But it very well could be a learned behavior, too. When you witness it, then it's like, well, if that's the kind of reaction I should have, or I see that reaction happening, so I assume that that's the reaction that I should have in circumstances, then maybe it is learned as well. I don't know. I mean,
yeah.
I'm not just going to blame it on the devil. I don't know.
Oh, no.
That, you know, but...
I mean, he definitely monopolizes on
sure,
it. But,
sure.
But yeah, definitely not all from him.
Yeah, but I mean, it's emotion.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, and I think that is important to point out when we're talking about anger, is that... God created us as emotional beings.
Right.
And so anger is an emotion. And having it initially, I think that if we do, if there's something that causes us to be angry, being angry in that moment is an emotion that I don't believe belongs, but we can say, okay, I understand that this is an emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Having that emotion initially, I don't believe is a sin. We'll put it that way. I don't believe it's a sin. It's what we do with it.
Sure.
It's kind of like, now that I'm thinking about it, like temptation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have that thought that's a tempting thought, whatever it is. And it's not a sin for you to have that thought. But it's what you do with it after is what matters.
Mm-hmm.
Am I going to take action on that anger?
Mm-hmm.
Am I going to, or am I going to say, no, this doesn't belong?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to recognize that that is a thought or a feeling that doesn't belong in me. So I'm going to bring it under the obedience of Christ.
Right.
I'm going to say, no, this isn't okay. What do I need to do to move past this?
Right.
To not react out of the anger. So I think that it's important for people to understand that. And the actual thought and feeling of anger isn't a sin. But I believe that we're going to talk about some things that can maybe help us to not have that initially either.
Yeah.
You know. But I can say that I think that it is both. I think that we have our human nature, which can have anger that can happen just because, you know, we have that human nature that, you know, hopefully is getting better and growing, you know, with God and everything. But I think there's definitely the element of the nurture or the learning.
Yeah.
I think a good part of prejudice comes from that.
Yeah.
You know, and it's learned behavior. It's learned, and that's another topic I didn't even think of till just now.
Yeah.
That can provoke a lot of anger.
Yeah.
A lot of anger issues. But all of those things, I think, can definitely be learned.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. Like, if you see somebody react this way and you're a young child and you're absorbing everything, you know, and it's like, oh, okay, well, that's...
And I think all of what we're saying, none of what we're saying means that the action that caused the anger is okay. We're not justifying the action of the other person.
Right.
I mean, we're talking about the reaction.
Mm.
Right?
Yes, yes,
the
yes.
Anger mm-hmm. is the reaction to something someone else has done. So it doesn't work. So by saying we should figure out ways to not be angry, it's not saying that other people's actions are okay.
Correct.
Right?
Correct. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, if you witness abuse,
right,
it's that doesn't make that okay at all.
Right.
I mean, let's just say that all of those things can absolutely justify anger.
Sure.
And so a lot of times when people feel justified to be angry, they think it's okay.
Right.
But
because the other person is definitely wrong.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And so, but just because we're justified doesn't mean the anger belongs.
Right.
Just because the anger is justified, just because this person
did a bad thing,
right,
whatever it is.
Whatever their poor choice was,
yeah,
you know, it doesn't mean that the anger belongs. And basically, the reason why I say that is that we can feel that way, but when we harbor that, it doesn't ever produce the righteousness of God. It doesn't produce anything positive. So if it doesn't produce anything positive, then it's not good to react from that. Like, you know, whenever you have that feeling, I can have that feeling when I see abuse. I can have that feeling like, oh man, that's so awful. That should not happen. But what am I going to do with that?
Right.
Because if I am just angry now, and anybody who I see, you know, in my perspective, talking to their kid harshly, how am I going to react?
Right.
You know, because if I harbor that anger because of that, anything that comes out of me at that point is not going to be beneficial.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be hurtful. It's
sure.
going to be harmful, which is why I wanted to kind of look at anger today.
Right, because then we're in a situation where are we just trying to teach him a lesson?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to be angry at you so I can tell you what you're doing is wrong and teach you a lesson and make you feel bad and
right.
whatever.
When in essence, it only creates more hurt.
Yeah.
It doesn't
make you feel any better either.
No, it doesn't. It's kind of like revenge.
Yeah, I've never been angry and felt better because I was angry.
Exactly. It, you know, and that's kind of like when I was processing this whole idea of anger, nothing good ever came of it.
Yeah.
In my life, you know, dealing with anger, it's nothing good ever came of it. In fact, as a young adult, and especially as a mom, in the beginning years, I had an anger issue. I really did. And again, not sure exactly where it came from. It could have been learned behavior, whatever. Doesn't really matter. I know that I had an anger issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I had noticed it, peaks of it here and there, I don't know, maybe you witnessed it more and you're just super gracious and really, I don't know. But I knew whenever our first two or so kids were younger and I would be upset with how they were behaving. Mm. And, you know, as a parents, we wanted to make sure that we raised our kids the right way, that we disciplined them so that they knew what was right and what was wrong. And we wanted to make sure that we did our best as Christian parents, you know. Well, most of the time, you can only do possibly a little bit better than what you were raised.
Right.
You know, because that's what you know. Unless you stretch yourself and you grow and you learn more things, you're basically going to probably be hopefully a step above what you were raised as.
Sure.
Just in general. And so, you know, it was kind of like, well, you know, if you do something wrong, then you have a consequence, you know. But I can remember they would be in timeout or whatever. At the very beginning, I don't even want to get into that, honestly. But I was, I can remember being angry with them. Like I just wanted them to do a certain thing or not do a certain thing. And I was so angry. And I can remember seeing their faces and they were so scared.
Yeah.
And I can remember leaving their rooms and going into my room and just seeing myself as a monster. And it was awful. I mean, I was in church. I grew up in church. I loved my kids. I loved my family. But when they misbehaved, it's like I wanted them to do the right thing. But when you only have a certain amount of tools or no tools to work with and an anger issue, this is what was happening. Mm-hmm. And I don't believe I'm the only mom or the only parent who's been there. I think that there are a lot of great people who love their kids who this happens to.
Yeah.
They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to, you know, in public, you would probably never guess it. For me, at that time, at church, you probably would talk to other people and they would be like, there's no way that was Hope. There's like, she's not like that. I didn't want to be like that either, but mm-hmm. I saw it. I saw it for what it was worth and I saw the look on the kids' faces and it was just like, I don't want to be this anymore. Mm-hmm. And when I finally got to that point, God was like, okay, I can work with this. Mm-hmm. You know, I needed to just get to that point where I'm just like, I hate this. I don't want this anger. I don't want this to affect my kids. I don't want them to learn that this is an okay thing. Like, this is not okay. And so God was gracious enough to start working with me on it and different things that I went to. There was a ladies' retreat type thing that I went to that there was somebody who spoke about, you know, accessing the Holy Spirit in those moments. And just real briefly, it was kind of like when you come to that moment where you feel like you're going to start down that road, mm-hmm. you know, you stop and then you just kind of look, there's a fork in the road here. I can either do what I've always been doing or I can do this other thing. And so I actually put that literally into my practice until it shifted.
Yeah.
There was also, which we can probably talk about during maybe a parenting one. there was a book that we went through, which was huge in giving us lots more tools in our toolbox with parenting, which made a huge difference. I mean, changed our perspective, on how we approach the kids and everything. And it was amazing. It shifted everything that really, really helped out with that. So I can remember when I decided to start making this choice in the moment, And I can remember one of the kids was having a fit and
doing what they did.
Doing what they did. And I walked into the room and I thought about that fork in the road and I just stopped. Because I came in, you know, frustrated, but then I just stopped. And I can remember.
They were more scared.
They were. I can remember that one looking at me like, okay, the normal thing's not happening.
What's about to happen?
Is her head going to pop off? Like, what is going to happen? And I can remember that. But then what I actually started doing is that in those moments, I started asking God what to do. And I can remember one time when Jay came home, he was quite a bit younger. He was probably fourth grade or something. And he's just having a moment. He is frustrated. Like, I'm trying to ask him about his day and he is just angry and he's upset and he's all these side, you know, and just, you know, just not really making a lot of sense, just really upset. And so in that moment, I would usually respond that way. Well, I just want to know how your day was. I don't know why you're being so rude, you know, like,
right.
You know, and I just so, but instead I stopped and I said, and I just was, you know, like, okay, God, what do I say? What do I do? And I can remember he said, ask him how his day was, which I guess we were talking about something else. That's not what I asked him at first, but he said, ask him, or he, I think it was, ask him what happened today. So then I kind of got him, you know, sat down and I said, what happened today? And he just looked at me and just started bawling and just started telling me, I don't even remember what it was, but it was something about another kid and all this stuff. And it was just like, okay, now we got to the source.
Right.
Instead of us both being all up here and crazy and yelling at each other, it's like we got to the source and we could take care of it. And so anyways, got a little bit off on a tangent with that, but you know, that was, there was, it was definitely an anger issue that God, through all those different things and getting the different tools and everything to help with everything, I believe has really hugely subsided years and years and years ago. Thank you, God, because that was really rough. But it can definitely be something that people struggle with.
Yeah,
it's not, you know, necessarily just things here and there. It can be a lifestyle.
Yeah.
So after thinking about the list of all the different things that people can get angry with, I believe that it, most of all of it can be boiled down to things that are out of that person's control.
Yeah.
The things that get people angry, like waiting.
Yeah.
Because if there's anything that you can do to make the process go along and get your answer, person's probably most likely going to do it.
Right.
You know, if you're not getting something that you are wanting,
right,
it's probably out of your control. If other people are making those poor choices, you don't have control over them.
It's their poor choices.
Right. So anyway, so I just was kind of thinking down the list and I was just like, it seems like it's a control thing.
Yeah.
Well, God does provide self-control to us. Now, this is something that I've talked to the kids about for years because I learned it myself through the whole process of my anger issues. God gave me self-control. And I would tell the kids, he did not give you brother control. He did not give you sister control.
Right.
He does not give us other people's control.
Right.
He gives us self-control.
Right.
And so, because we only have self-control, then we need to practice self-control.
The one thing we do have, we need to practice.
Yes. And in those situations, I think that practicing that can definitely alleviate a lot of the anger that we can have.
Yeah.
The other thing is that self-control is not a gift that God gives us. There are things like grace and love and many other things in the Bible that God gives us.
Mm-hmm.
Self-control comes from God, but it's not a gift.
Mm.
Self-control is an element of the fruit of the Spirit.
Hmm.
And with the fruit of the Spirit, like we've talked about before, it's all about abiding and living in God.
Yeah.
With the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And when we choose to live that life and in that relationship, the fruit of the Spirit then is produced in us.
Mm-hmm.
It is a wonderful, can I say, side effect.
Yeah.
It is a wonderful thing that is produced in us, but it's not a gift. It's something that we need to work on our relationship with God by being with Him, reading the Word, allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to us, walking in obedience. It's all the different things that we talk about all the time that then the fruit of the Spirit will be developed in us.
Right.
Which contains self-control.
Yeah.
Now, that will grow in us as a fruit, but then we also need to practice it.
Right.
Which is, you know, not necessarily the funnest thing.
Right.
But it's great to start learning how to, you know, work with it. So let's read here. We'll just read the different elements of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, 22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. So as we've talked about before about abiding in God, He will grow that fruit in us, but we need to access it along with building up our toolboxes. Mm-hmm. You know, that's kind of why I wanted to do this podcast.
Yeah.
You know, I want to provide and give people the tools in living this godly life in all the different things that we might participate in, work and family and everything, that can help us all along.
Yeah.
You know, because it's not just for me. Like, He's grown me in many ways. He's grown you in many ways. And I think it's only right for us to share that with people so that maybe it can help them too.
Yeah.
You know? So definitely, like we were talking about, the anger can be different, deeper issues. You know, it can be not necessarily just kind of like something that just provokes you on the road, you know, or whatever. I think that if you have an anger issue, that it's easier to be provoked by any number of different things.
Yeah.
But you can also just have something that makes you upset, you know, mm-hmm. and angry, and then it goes away. You know, you just kind of toss it to the side and whatever. But those deeper issues, I would consider to be heart issues.
Mm-hmm.
So in the Bible, we do read about out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So Luke 6:45 says, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." So whatever's in our heart, that's where our mouth speaks. So I think that if you have a lot of anger and a lot of rage that is coming out in any number of different situations, you probably have a deep anger issue.
Right.
Which resides in your heart. And it can lead there whenever we allow that anger to stay. We talked about that before. Like, anger is an emotion, but when we allow it to stay, it grows like a bad, gnarly weed.
Yeah.
You know, and so when it grows and it ends up, you know, our hearts are like gardens. When it grows and it gets all weedy and we got all kinds of anger in there and there's bitterness and rage, and that's where it's going to come out. It's going to come out of your mouth. So I think that is definitely, something that needs to be addressed.
Sure.
Absolutely. Along with the self-control and growing in the fruit of the Spirit, like we were talking about, abiding in God, I also believe that love, which is an element of the fruit of the Spirit, but love is definitely key in resolving these deep anger issues. Mm. We're going to go ahead and read the good old 1 Corinthians about love.
There you go.
Because it's great. It's amazing. 1 Corinthians 13:4-8. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always preserves. Love never fails.
Mm.
So if we kind of look at the different elements that I just read in here, love is patient. And I do believe that that is a remedy for impatience when waiting,
mm-hmm.
is to be patient. Love is kind when others make bad choices.
Poor choice people.
We need to be kind. We need to be kind. If you're choosing to be kind, most likely no anger is going to come out.
Right.
If you're truly choosing love and kindness, probably no anger is going to come out. You might be biting your tongue. Your tongue might be bleeding from biting it. But
I love you.
I'm going to keep saying it until it's there. But yeah, I mean, and doesn't keep any record of wrongs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's, I think it's a huge one, especially when it comes to relationships.
Yeah.
And not bringing up that past stuff.
Right.
You know, and that's not going to provoke to anger.
Mm-hmm.
It does say it's not easily angered.
Hmm.
Not easily angered. I think that's interesting.
Yeah.
It doesn't say it doesn't get angry.
Right.
But it's not easily angered.
Yeah.
So to me, that means there's no deep root of anger that's come, you know. It might get upset. Mm-hmm. at some point because of those injustices that we talked about, you know.
Sure.
But anyways, I do believe that love is so key to getting past the anger issues. It's not just saying that I loved my kids that got me past it, though. Because I really do love our kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that I did. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that I loved the kids, which is why I wanted them to walk in the right way. I wanted them to know right from wrong. But simply saying that I loved them did not take care of my anger issues.
Mm-hmm.
It was me growing in the one who is love.
Mm.
And then accessing and allowing him to speak to me and putting those tools into place and reading that book that we read and starting to put those different ways into practice. So it's not just, okay, guys, so be self-controlled and love and
right.
then you'll be good. You know, it's not a Band-Aid.
Right.
It's a way of living.
Yeah.
And it's not just, I'm going to read my Bible and it's going to just take care of everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's a culmination. It's that relationship. It's, you know, allowing other people. And that's why I really wanted to talk about this, because people who know me today probably would have no idea that I dealt with such anger. And like I said, even at the time, the majority of people in our church probably had no idea that mm-hmm. I dealt with such anger. And I think it's important, because I think that we know people who possibly act like this in other situations that we never see.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important to talk about it, because it's not healthy.
Right.
It's not good. It's not going to lead to anything positive or good, or, you know, to redeem any of those situations that are truly injustices. So I just wanted to encourage you today that if you do deal with anger, whether it's kind of on and off here and there, or if it's a deeper issue, that it's really, there's no good that's going to come of it. There really is no good. There is no righteous anger. That's an oxymoron. I love oxymoron. Sorry. Anyways. But, you know, there is another way. There is another way. And so leaning into those things and possibly some of the other tools that we've talked about in previous podcasts and to come will help build up your toolbox. And do you have any last thoughts?
No.
No?
You did good today.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
John's a great encourager.
Yeah. And you didn't make me angry, so.
Oh, good. I didn't run into your car. Sorry. No.
Oh, snap.
Well, be encouraged, guys. And until next time, continue to believe and hope in the one and only true God. We'll see you then.